He's 20 years old. Most of our students are ranged from 25 and up. Our oldest is a 42-year-old mother of two. Her husband's 38, but they're from Venezuela. We have four Venezuelan couples on campus as well. A very varied population that makes up our Baxter campus. It's 60 students that are part of the undergraduate program, the four-year Bible program. And then we have a fifth-year approaching graduate-level marriage and family program for Baxter graduates who have been out in ministry trying to help people and realize they need assistance on how to deal with very specific issues as it relates to family and marriage, and then also church leaders who have a college degree. So it's a good program, genuinely a fifth-year program that we have going. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. This is a bird's-eye view of the campus that you see here. Next slide. This is our basic vision for the school, and that is to evangelize all of Latin America. That's a big vision, but that's what visions are, aren't they? Your vision should be to evangelize all of Poplar Bluff. Really, that should be your vision, right? You want to reach everybody with the gospel. Not everybody's going to respond, like not everybody responded to Jesus in a positive way. And then our mission, our specific mission, you ought to think in terms of your specific mission as a church. Our specific mission is to prepare these students that come to us from all these different countries to be missionaries, ministers, and servant leaders for Latin America. That's our very specific mission, and that's what the school exists for. Now, we do a number of things. We have a clinic, too, and I'll show you photos of clinic. But that is is connected always with this main vision and mission for what the Baxter Institute is all about. Next slide. Okay, so where is Honduras? Some of you, all right, this is geography class. There's North America. Next slide. There's South America. We were in the southernmost country of Argentina for 15 years when we were young adults. 27, we went to the mission field and went to Argentina. And then in the middle is Central America. Next slide. This is Central America, the Isthmus of Central America. There's Honduras. Next, Tegucigalpa is the capital. We're at 3,500 feet. And though it's tropical, it's a pleasant climate. Our temperatures generally run between 60 and 80. In the hot months, it'll get up into 90, maybe for a couple of weeks, but that's basically it. This is an overlook of the city of Tegucigalpa. The beautiful jacaranda tree on campus is an archway there. See the palm trees in the background, the jacaranda tree and the mango tree. Next slide. This is a Cuban student who needs some help on a class. We have presently six Cubans on campus. Did a wonderful job there on campus. I've now employed him as he graduated to be our choral director. He was singing in a trio in Cuba. Imagine this. And he gave that up, that profession, to come to Baxter to study. And he has such wonderful skills. We said, hey, we really would like for you to stay on and help us with our choral direction. We have a course of about 20 in that course. Next slide. This is my preaching class, and it's actually up at the overlook of campus that looks onto the city with my guys. We have an annual youth retreat, and this was, my dean said that's incorrect. It should be like 550 that were on campus. 5 days, they're bedded on campus, and every nook and cranny we could put them into, and a wonderful event that our students do. Students organize it, they get the speakers, and it's, again, a training for them for what will be their future in ministry. Next slide. Here we go. And this is the amphitheater. I was speaking at the bottom of the amphitheater, and this is the crowd, the 700 that came for that graduation. Next slide. This is something that's unique to Baxter. We are a leader, and the Christian colleges of the Churches of Christ. We are producing a mission team a year. And this is a mission team here that's gone to Colombia, Cúcuta, Colombia. This is a mission team that has gone to Cochabamba, Bolivia. That was in 2015. Next slide. Talking to the dear sister about Phil Waldron. This is a team of Baxter graduates. The second from the left is from Dominican Republic. The other one to the far right is from Dominican Republic, from Nicaragua, and from El Salvador. Make up the team that worked together with Phil Waldron in a mission there. This is a team that dates back to 10 years ago that went to Cartagena, Colombia. Next slide. And yet another team that went out to Dominican Republic. Next slide. And here's our Cuban team. We have graduated three couples from Cuba, and they are ministering there in that country. We have the prospect of another Cuban team going out. And, you know, I've been at the school now 4.5 years, and the first 2 years of just trying to find myself in this school, so very different from what it was like in down in Argentina and South America. And ask the question, what is God doing here? And I encourage every church to ask that kind of question. What is God doing here? We often think it's a term, what we are doing. But there's a unique character, unique mission, unique something that God is doing at the Green Forest Congregation. And it is more than worshiping every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's more than that. What is a unique something that is the character and the mission and the gifts that God has given this congregation? So I did that same kind of question. I did that in ministry in the States. We came back from Argentina. I did that in Louisiana. I did it in North Carolina. And now at Baxter, what's so unique about this school is students come in from all over Latin America. They adapt to Honduras. And then they adapt to each other. And since it's not a large school, it's tight relationships that develop, kind of like it was for us. In 1970, we went to Fried Hardeman College. School was not very big then. And those who were very interested in mission work were not a lot in number. And so we developed that tight relationship and went to Argentina as a mission team with four families and a single guy. The same thing is happening at Baxter. And God is really blessing us with that. I ask you to pray for that. It's exciting that have mission teams from Cuba to Cochabamba, Bolivia. We have four teams in the city of Mexico City. Isn't that something? It's the largest city in the world, Mexico City. Imagine. And we have four teams there evangelizing and doing very good work there. This is our clinic. Why do we have a clinic? I always answer that question, Jesus. What? what's Jesus in a clinic having? What's in common there? Do you remember in your Bible study ever Jesus walking along the road and seeing somebody like that leper who runs up to him and just walking on by? Did he ever walk by? He always stopped. He always stopped. Now, sometimes he had to escape to get away from the crowd to pray. But when somebody presented themselves with a physical need, hunger, 5,000 out here, Jesus, and we got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what are we going to do? How do we solve this? Well, let's pray. And he prays, and he multiplies, and he feeds the 5,000. Jesus cared about people in their situation and in their needs. Hey, if you go to the third world, your heart breaks. My people die on me because of hunger. Well, that hurts. I want to do something about it because Jesus would do something about it. And so we have a clinic. A clinic is about 35 years old. School is 53 years old. One of the newest things, I mentioned this last time I was here, And I didn't have the most up-to-date number, but this is just this past week. Last week, we had on campus the brigade that comes in and does these legs. And you can see, I don't have a pointer here, but you see the middle guy here, and you see the leg that has been made for him. And you see this boy, this young man, he lost both his arms. Isn't that something? He almost lost his other leg in an accident, but we were able to give him a leg, a prosthetic leg, make one for him on campus. And $88 to build this leg. It's very simple. No high tech to it, but well made. And we've been doing it for 2 years. And we've had some individuals come back. Something breaks. We fix it. This brigade comes and fix it for them. And so this is working out wonderfully as a way to serve those in need. A lot of injury in third world. This is an Auburn mission brigade that came down. Mission, it's a medical brigade, I should say. It's a school of medicine that's at Auburn. And we have a connection with a school of medicine. It's at Auburn. It's at Spartanburg, South Carolina, and also at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. And they come down in brigades of this size 4 times a year. And this is one of the brigades that comes down. My nephew pushes me up there, but you may be pushing me out the door because I want to say so much. But we had a brigade just last week, and they saw 587 patients in a brigade that they did. And this is a story you got to hear. They had a little boy, I think he was an 8-year-old, who showed up. He was out without a parent, without any adult. He was by himself. And all these people were seeing the doctors. Well, the protocol for this med school is, and our clinic too, is not to attend to a child without a parent present, because someone needs to know specifically what the treatment is and how to take the meds, kind of a thing. But he's hanging around. His tummy was hurting. Oh, it was hurting. But we can't really. And so at the end of the day, my nurse on campus says, "Shucks, we're going to do something. Let's take care of him. We're going to see him anyway, you know." And so they sat him down and they did a physical on him. And he was underweight, but he was physically okay. "My tummy hurts." Well, I said, "When was the last time you ate?" His tummy was hurting because he hadn't eaten in days. So we fed him, and we feed a number of children at the spot where he goes, and have them in our nutrition program. Such is our world. This is third world. This is not just Honduras, okay? This is the way the majority of the world lives. The majority lives. We can kind of hide away in North America and not see the way the rest of the world lives sometimes. Next slide. This is our dental clinic. And this was a mama overlooking the dentist as she's working on her boy. And the boy is in our nutrition program. Next slide. This is our pharmacy. Next slide. And some of the boys in our program. And this is a mama in in the nutrition program with her little baby, and the settings that they will be coming from, just really simple, poor settings. And this is a VCOM student, a medical student, came down and worked for a week on campus with one of those boys. The day at the clinic starts this way. This is Mario in the middle there, and he's preaching. And Mario also baptizes. Mario is a deacon in the church that is sits right next to Baxter School. The Church of Christ there started on our campus in 1978 when the campus area was bought. They met under an arbor, 20 of them. They have grown now to be a church of 350, 5 deacons and 5 elders and several deacons. And wonderful story of that church. Well, the deacon comes over every morning at 7 o'clock, and he's preaching away to those who have come to have medical attention in our clinic. We have Monday through Friday from 7:30. That 7 o'clock is the preaching service. 7:30 to 4, there's medical attention for those individuals. Next slide. Now, you see this guy here in the foreground. His name is Timoteo. He's from Choluteca. He's kind of from the country of the back country of this area called Choluteca. And he is about as country bumpkin as you can get. He's a character. He's a wonderful character, though. He was baptized on campus at the clinic, because we have a pool down there at the clinic. He was baptized there 20 years ago. And he's worked on campus. He's now heads up all our maintenance of the school and projects on the school. Really good about this. The guy in the background is trying to chop down a tree. He's making sure the tree doesn't fall on the guard shack, which is over to the right. Next slide. It happens that the government gave a tract of land to a bunch of indigenous people there, the Lenca Indians. They put up a fence around this big tract of land and says, it's yours. No running water, no electricity at this reservation. You know, how do you survive in this? And here's a house trying to survive. This is an ingenious kind of a house. This is your rock wall. That kind of gives you another perspective on that expensive rock wall you want to put up at your house, huh? He's gone around the corner and he's lodging the rock. You see behind that tarp, that black tarp, he's trying to make another wall there. Across the street from this house, it's a house, okay, was a pallet house, a house made out of pallets. Just any kind of way to have a belonging, a dwelling, I should say. Next slide. Here's the kids that live on the reservation. Beautiful kids. And a schoolhouse. Sometimes you talk bad about teens, and they're teens on the back row. So teens on the back row, listen. I'm talking good about you. There was a bunch of teens in Florida that got together for a youth rally, okay? And they got together for a youth rally in Florida, members of the Churches of Christ, and they were told about the situation on this reservation. They raised money to build this two-room schoolhouse. That's good. That's good that our teens are doing those positive, we got teens up here, positive kinds of things. And think about projects you can do for God and for others. And this is the classroom. Next slide. And so money was raised also to buy, to build a block, center block, a church building. This is a church building. We drove up to it in the rain, and Diana says, I got to see this thing. She jumps out of the car and runs through the mud to see what the construction was doing. And I said, well, I better get out. She's going to get out. And we took this picture of her there in the rain. Next slide. So they now have a schoolhouse and a church building, and we're the only church on the reservation. Isn't that nice? And so they didn't have any water. So how do you survive without water? Good night. Water trucks will run through these kind of neighborhoods and sell water to the people, but that's iffy at best on their delivery of water for these people. And so a well was dug. That was a above-ground cistern, and here's the water. Money was raised to see that done. Now, he's not in the photo, but this is all the evangelistic work of that country bumpkin. Because about 2 years ago, he heard about this reservation opening up, and so he took Baxter students out there, and they preach under the shade of the pine trees up there. And then he gets some baptisms, and things start happening. And then others take an interest in this, and the church building is built, the schoolhouse is built, and it's all very a part of what we're about, at Baxter, caring for others in very difficult situations. Next slide. These are some projects that you might have an interest in personally. You as a congregation are supporting Baxter now at $600 a month for a student. Thank you. We need that. We desperately need that. We need more of those who will support students. Now, but these are one-time kind of little projects, one-time kind of things that you might be interested personally. And if you are, talk to me about that. Again, we are already incredibly indebted to you for accepting us and bringing us online and as far as a support base. There are 53 churches across America that support Baxter. I try to get to all of them. I've gotten to 10 of them in 3 weeks this time. So, but thank you. Thank you for helping. And if you want to help out individually, as I indicated, we got Sika down there. You've heard of that, right? And we've had three on campus get Sika. And so I'm looking for ways to help that. And that clinic, we're going to renovate the clinic and putting $4,000 to a room. And a nutrition program, we have 53 kids in the nutrition program. We could have 150 in that program. That's for children who are malnourished. They enter the program. They receive food every 10 days, they and their family, the child does. The mom has to be in a sewing or a beautician class, teaching them a trade, and they see the doctor, have a medical checkup every 3 months. So it's a very holistic approach. You will turn on the TV and they'll say, for $19.99, you can support somebody in India. And perhaps those are legit programs. But this is the real cost of taking care of a child and its family. And then the prosthetic leg we showed you earlier. Next slide. This is our freshman class that come in. And four couples are from Venezuela and one couple is from Colombia. Next slide. This is Josue. That's Joshua in English. He is baptizing. He's a freshman from Guatemala. He's baptizing his first individual in Honduras on his weekend ministry assignment. Next slide. And I caught him. He's in the foreground. And his buddies, one day after chapel, they were praying on the, it's kind of like a little hillside beside our house. Call them out there praying. It wasn't staged, okay? Next slide. And that's it. Okay, so we've got until 10:45 or 9:45. Oh, okay, we've gotten quite a bit of time for questions and answers on the part of you guys. I like to do this. I like to give you the opportunity to say, what about this and what about that? And I saw something I didn't understand there in that photo. Come at me with a question that you might have about what we're doing.
Do they speak English or do you teach that?
You saw a lady in the video teaching a class. Angelica is her name. And she teaches the English classes. She's a Honduran. And this is where you come and come into the picture. We had just back in February a dear couple, former elder and his wife from a church in Nashville. And so they came down, spent 2 weeks in February. They were in a little apartment right next to our house, and they did the conversational English with their students. Our Honduran English teacher doesn't have English as a first language. And there's a big difference. There's idioms and just ways you say things that you just naturally say them, not because you learned them in the school, but because it's just part of learning English as a kid growing up and as an adult. And so they spent 2 weeks on campus. They had a wonderful time. They became the grandparents for the students and their kids. And fell in love with them. They had a send-off with a piñata, and they were out there blindfolded, Dick and Jan, trying to hit the piñata and get the candy out of the piñata. But that is the case. They don't speak English They learn English like we learn Spanish here. We're the only Yankees or gringos on campus. Nobody else is a North American on campus. We're the only North Americans on campus. Well, this brigade that comes and works with us, they come every 3 months, and they do, like they did last week, 13 or more prosthetics. They're working on prosthetics for arms, got the leg, and they've got the leg, really, they've got it really well developed from the knee down. Having a stump below the knee, that helps. Not quite as difficult. Knee makes another kind of challenge doing a knee, but they did a knee this past week. So they're continue to develop things, and so the knee has been developed, and they want to go to arms, but right now there's not any arms for that young man. There was a mother standing beside him. Now, I wasn't there last week. I was somewhere in Tennessee, I think, raising funds, or was it Ohio? But anyway, it was Ohio last week. So family has to take care of a kid like that. Obviously, it was an accident. The other leg looked pretty bad, but had survived the accident. I can get more specifics for you. That's as much as I know. Thanks. Yeah, brother.
How many staff do you have as far as teachers?
I've got 6 teachers. I work in various levels of instruction. So, we have one teacher who does helps the students with just teaching skills. And he also, though, works with admissions, helping us find students, and he'll travel. He was in Cuba talking to individuals just 3 weeks ago with trying to get students from Cuba to come. And he also works with all the paperwork for getting the students. It's quite a bit of paperwork to get a foreigner into our school and all. I laid down $17,000. Incoming class, freshmen, for their paperwork. But that's what has to be done. Now, in Mexico, this is kind of one of those like incredible paradoxes or contradictions. It is very difficult to get into Mexico as a foreigner. Very difficult. We had sent a mission team up there, and they were over a year getting all the paperwork done to get into Mexico. And that's one reason why the school left Mexico and came to Honduras. Because it's easy in Honduras. It costs you, but you can get it done. It's a process. And so he does double duty on that. We have an accountant that works with us. We have a number of secretaries for the dean, for myself, for others there on campus that are part of our staff. We have a librarian. We have someone who's involved in our computer lab. We have a computer lab and computer classes for the students to help them kind of get a sense of how to use that and also get developing a skill that can be helpful to them in their lives. They take Hebrew and they take Greek. I don't know if you noticed one of those students up there was writing in Hebrew on the whiteboard. So, yeah. You do. So, good question. The main staple, the main program has been this 4-year Bible minister missionary approach. And as I've come on, I've tried to isolate, okay, this is an area that needs a lot of help, and that's the family. So thus, the 5th-year program for the ministry students. the programs I have in mind relate to helping ministers grow the churches that they're ministering to. Church growth is a kind of a topic that I took at Harding Grad School, and that would be of very practical, helpful. Okay, you've gotten into ministry, you got through Bible school, and you're proving yourself as a preacher, but your church is not growing. How do you help your church grow? Church growth kind of concepts. So that's an area that I've already isolated as a next step to the fifth-year program. On the marriage and family program, it is incredible. We got 17 we graduated out of the program last year, first time. This year, we started off with 28 students who come in from three different countries, driving some of them 7 and 8 hours to get there for one weekend. It's one weekend a month, the program. And we got 5 online in a virtual class called Zoom. And so this virtual class and having internet now allows us to go off-site to a lot of our graduates who are all over Latin America. So that's exciting to me to see that develop. And I want to go slowly at that, but surely toward to that kind of an end for the school. We want to, for the clinic, we want to have another doctor. We need somebody to just tend to kids, because a lot of kids, and a lot of mamas with needs with their kids. Good question. We got 1 minute. Yes.
So wives do the exact same program?
Wives have the option to take the full load, and in the graduating class this year, there'll be 2 wives who did that. And then they have we have a program that is a program just for minister wives where they take half load. But the classes are all related to what a preacher wife does. And in many of the cases, the preacher wives will do a whole range of things, like Bible classes, set up the Bible program for the Sunday school, and do wives or women's seminars and those kinds of things that are very much a part of a minister's wife's role. And so they have classes for that. And the teacher has some really creative stuff to help them develop skills as it relates to Sunday school and teaching, that kind of thing.
Isn't there a daycare, like children and moms are in class?
There is a nursery. And we had 2 babies coming, and they have... One has been born, one's about to be born. We didn't have a rocker. And so, not a rocker on campus. And so, dear sister, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, said, "Hey, well, I'm going to get you some money for a rocker." So we now have money for 2 rockers for these 2 babies that are coming. Those kinds of needs are just real things that happen on campus and real needs that we have. Well, I heard the buzzer. Thank you for your time, and we'll visit some more later on. Thank you.
Uniform standard, or are they? Who furnishes them?
Well, that's a part of the $600 help. They have a uniform.
Okay. And that's the students?
All the students have a uniform.
All students have a uniform.
Now, there's a reason why. Let me cut myself off here.